Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to change channels today and talk about the debate going on in Kansas about intelligent design, evolution. Should evolution be taught in school as the only theory on origins? And before that, though, I want to let you know, Joseph Farah, editor of WorldNet Daily, has contacted us and offered to do an interview on our open letter to James Dobson next week. And so, Lord willing, what we'll do is, if that interview comes off, we will record it and air it for you sometime next week with Joseph Farah. And he's on about 20 cities or so, and that's exciting. And also, there's a Christian talk show host on the East Coast, Stuart Epperson Jr., and his program is rather successful. He's on in about 25 cities, and he contacted us today and said he would love to discuss our letter to James Dobson and the implications of the Christian political strategy of 25 years of failing to get the pro-life judges that we were told we would get if we elected Republican pro-life presidents, which we've done now five times. And what we have succeeded in doing is packing the federal judiciary with pro-choice judges. So it's not working, and we are trying our best to get the word out. And if you go to our website, kgov.com, you could copy and paste that article we have. In fact, we're putting it up there in different formats to make it easier for different people to copy and paste it in their emails, print it out. It's available in Adobe Acrobat Reader, a PDF file. And we're going to put it up as a Microsoft Word file. And so you can help us get the word out. And we really need your help. And go to kgov.com and click and post. It says post your comments on the open letter to Dobson. And we are organizing an effort now where people are taking that evidence and that argument and in a systematic way sending it to churches around the country and Christian organizations and leaders. And so if you would like to be a part of that, and you could do that at your home, at your computer, and you get on the computer and you, we're not spamming people, but you specifically identify 5, 10, 20, 30 people, Christian pastors in your community, pro-life leaders, organizations, somebody you know nationally or you know of, and forward this open letter to James Dobson to them, and you'll really help us tremendously. Okay, now in Kansas, there is a hearing going on with the Kansas State Board of Education about the teaching of evolution. And if you ask the broad question of here at Bob Enyart Live, do we think that creation should be taught in the public schools? Do we think that prayer should be put back into the public schools? The answer to that is we think that the children should be taken out of the public schools. Our goal is not to put prayer into the public schools as though some mumbled 30-second prayer at the beginning of the school day is going to offset all the immorality and filth and all the sexual harassment of young ladies, girls, females by the time they graduate in the public schools. No. So we encourage all parents to take their kids out of public schools. And the best choice for the most people is homeschooling. And if you can't homeschool, well, look into Christian schools, but beware, because many of them are liberal. Many of them are just as broken as the public schools. Here in Arvada, Colorado, we have an extraordinary one, Maranatha Christian Center, run by a strong Christian family for a quarter century. And so, homeschooling, but not public schools. Not a godless education for your children. And if you have a daughter, you don't want her to be sexually harassed day in and day out for years so that by the time she graduates, she's comfortable with others making fun of her body, making sexual jokes about her, asking her to perform sexual favors for strangers, because that's part of the curriculum at the public schools. And, you know, I mean the schools like Cherry Creek in Jefferson County and Douglas County schools. Those are the schools I mean, and the other ones too, but specifically those. Okay. So in Kansas, there's this debate, and there are some who are against evolution, Darwinian evolution, where species evolve into different species. Creatures that have no lungs develop lungs. Creatures that have no backbones develop backbones and spines. Don't you wish our Republican leaders could do that? Boy, that'd be great if we could somehow bottle that Darwinism up and inject it into the ventilation system at the Republican National Convention. But creatures that have no backbone and develop a backbone to go from invertebrate to vertebrate. Now, there are billions of fossils in the world, billions. And there are billions of fossils of invertebrates and of vertebrates. And guess what? Would you say that's a big change to go from one to the other? I'd say it's a big change. And there are no transitional forms. None. What do you got? Oh, you got a partial vertebrate there and you're becoming... No, there's just no transitional forms because God created these creatures differently from the beginning. And you've heard of the Cambrian explosion, where you go down to the basement rocks of the continents, where you have the first sedimentary layers, and that's where fossils begin. And you know what? Of all the different kind of animal phylum, there's 50% to 85% of all the animal phylum available immediately in the Cambrian explosion, right at the bottom, where they find the first fossils. And supposedly it took hundreds of millions of years hundreds of millions of years to get to that point. And you have half of all the kinds of animals and no evidence whatsoever. They call it the Cambrian explosion because life just exploded onto the earth from all over the world, according to this record in the sedimentary layers on the crust of the earth. And you know what? They used to call it the Cambrian explosion ever since I was born until the last few years. Now they're calling it the Cambrian Big Bang. That's what they're calling it. Because the more research they do, the more they dig up these fossils, they're finding it's blowing their mind how much appeared instantly according to the fossil record with absolutely no possibility for any predecessors. There were no intermediary sources because there's no history of any previous life on Earth. And how does all that come to pass? Because God created life on Earth in the recent past. He created mankind and all the animals, and he put us on a paradise, and man sinned, and the paradise was broken, and disease and suffering came into the cosmos. And animals began to eat one another, and human beings began to kill one another. And things have not been evolving and getting better. They get worse. I mean, look at the fossil record. They had better dental records before they had dentists. So, okay, now. So in Kansas, you have the president of the Discovery Institute. That's a group in Seattle that's been behind this really amazing intelligent design movement. Have you heard of the intelligent design movement? It's not Christian creationism, and it's not evolution. It's a group of people, scientists and others, that have assembled enormous amounts of powerful arguments, evidence, that evolution, Darwinian evolution, cannot work. It's not true. It didn't happen. But they do not say that God created, that Jesus Christ created. They're ambiguous. And there's a danger there, of course, because, you know, Hindus believe in some kind of a creation, or Buddhists, or Taoists, or cultists. They believe in some kind of a creation, but they're going to hell because they reject Jesus Christ, who is the creator. So there is a danger if someone gets caught up in the intelligent design movement and stays there, that does not lead to salvation. So that's the danger. On the other hand, just as we use evidence compiled by evolutionists to prove our case that evolution did not happen, we can use the powerful tools and the scientific research that's being compiled by the intelligent design movement to help weaken the public support for evolution. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on in Kansas. Well, they have 6 days set aside, the Kansas State Board of Education, for hearings on this topic. And in some states, they don't teach evolution strictly as a fact, right? Like in Ohio, Minnesota, and New Mexico, the state law has been changed so that they can look at evidence. The teachers can present evidence that may challenge evolution. They might say, well, some people believe that eyesight evolved. That eyesight evolved, that somehow there was a toad and it got a pimple or a sun blister, and the sun blister eventually turned into an eyeball or eyesight. Now, how long would it take for eyesight to develop by accidental mutations? You would think, well, maybe, I don't know, a billion years, maybe never, but long time. It probably wouldn't take 3 or 4 months. So the toad gets a pimple or a blister from the sun, and then it dies. It doesn't develop any eyesight from that. And if you get a sunburn, your kids are not going to be born with sunscreen on them. And so the whole concept is ludicrous. And the more we learn about things like eyesight and all the functions of living creatures and individual cells, your body has about a trillion individual cells, and each cell is more complicated than a Boeing 747 jet. And so it's pretty naive to think, well, this would just all sort of happen. And for your eyesight to sort of happen, well, we are told by atheists that it's all done by the laws of physics and by natural selection. And chemical reactions based on the laws of physics bring about the building blocks of eyesight. And then because you have some of these building blocks, you're able to survive better than another organism that doesn't. And so you survive and you pass on your hereditary genes. Well, let's forget the question of how sexual reproduction could ever evolve. Let's forget that question. Just forget it. Because how do you evolve? If you're sexually reproducing, how does that start? How does that start up? How does it start? How does it start? You got just the men first or just the women? And you're evolving what? How? When? Where? Lay it out for me. Draw a flow chart. Let me see a basic outline, an algorithm of how that happens. But anyway, okay. So you supposedly have these building blocks that you're starting to develop eyesight or wings. Or legs. You used to swim in the sea, and now you're growing legs, and you're going to travel around land. Okay? Or you use gills, and now you need lungs. And so by tiny little mutations, little accidents, things happen that somehow lungs start to evolve, and eyesight, and a Doppler radar, right? Like bats and dolphins use sonar. This stuff is all happening a little bit by chance. And since it's happening now, these creatures that have a little bit of wings where they had none, they're better off. They could survive better. Well, don't you question that? Because how long would it be if a wing is starting to form little by little and it's supposed to help you survive? It's supposed to help you survive and do better than others of your species? Well, how long do you have a very bad leg before it gradually changes into a good wing? Right? How long would that take? How many generations? One generation? Like a pig has a baby, a piglet, and it flies? And then the pigs flew. No, it'd have to take, even the evolutionists say, you know, it'd have to take thousands of generations, tens of thousands of generations. So how long is it before your bad leg, your leg is no longer usable because it's a half leg, half a wing? And you would die out. If survival of the fittest is true and you had the brainy idea to start to evolve a wing, you'd be history. Forget about any ambition you had, your grandparents, your forefathers, you're dead. The line is gone. So it doesn't work. All right, now we're going to go to the phones and we'll go back to our channel about our protest and all. But New Orleans is calling about what topic? All right, we're going to go to New Orleans and then Denver, Colorado with Brad. But first, in Louisiana, Robert, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Mr. Inyart. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you, sir.
I just want to say real quickly, I appreciate what you're doing. Give you thanks for the work you're doing. And I mean, I like you, I respect Dr. Dobson a lot, but trying to sort of clarify people's thinking and maybe get them back on the right path again.
Amen. And I'm so glad you put it that way, Robert. Because I know there are fundamentalist Christians who are angry at James Dobson for all kinds of reasons. You know, the closer you get toward wanting to honor God and live by his principles, the more opportunities there are to disagree with one another and become divisive.
That's right.
It's just part of the reality of seeking to honor God, and where we disagree because of our flesh and selfishness and ignorance. So there are people who criticize James Dobson for 100 different reasons, some worthwhile, some not. But I'm not one who likes to pile on somebody. I look at another brother in the Lord, somebody in our church, a Christian leader, and say, you know, he's trying hard. He's fighting the battle, but he's not seeing it. He doesn't have the insight to see that his strategy has backfired for 25 years.
That's exactly it. I really think it's just a matter of well-meaning Christians thinking that there was an opportunity presented to them that really wasn't there, and not yet recognizing that the opportunity really wasn't there to begin with.
Right. And for listeners who don't know what we're talking about, it's being told by the Christian Coalition Moral Majority, Focus on the Family, since Ronald Reagan was campaigning in the late 70s, that if we elected pro-life Republican presidents, we would get federal judges who honored the culture of life. We've now been doing that for 28 years, and it turns out that our judges are virtually all pro-choice. And not only that, when you put homosexuality into the mix, they're aggressively supportive of homosexuality. And so we've lost, and we've lost by our own strategy. It's not that we couldn't pull off our strategy. We've done it. And we have taught our Republican presidents that you could nominate pro-choice judges, and we will look the other way, and you could use us. And that's what's been happening.
That's right. I don't want to take up any more time. Thank you very much, and just keep up the good work.
God bless you. I appreciate that, Robert. Now, Brad, we lost in Denver. Brad was calling about the Dairy Queen protest, and he was against it. See that? If I would have saw that, I would have gone right to it, right to him. Because on this show, Bob Inyart Live, we take people who disagree, we put them at the head of the list because it's more interesting. You know, if we're doing something wrong, people who disagree with us are more likely to spot it. And so we like to take people who disagree and talk through. All right. So, and we'll likely get more calls on that topic, and that'll be fine. But I'm going to interject them with this discussion here about what's going on in Kansas. And there are scientists and others like, for example, the professor of law at Berkeley, UC Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, who has done an excellent job presenting the legal case against Darwinism. And the scientists from this country and around the world who are beginning to get the courage to say, hey, you know what? This evolution story doesn't wash because it's illogical. It violates the laws of science. It violates what we know. And there's no evidence for it. It didn't happen. So you've been told in your public schools that an animal, let's say a little chipmunk or a squirrel, wants to grow wings because he climbs trees and then there are flying insects and it wants to jump off the tree and catch the insect, but it can't do it because it doesn't have wings. So I was taught this in school. And so the animal would jump off the tree and eventually wings evolved. Now that's stupidity. Ignore the question of how the insects evolved wings. Ignore that completely. I mean, it's stupid. How many times would you have to jump out of a tree before your wife is going to have a child with partial wings? Genetics do not work like that. I mean, there's some influence, we know, from the ecosystem on our genetics and reproduction, but it's an influence that's extremely well defined and fine-tuned. Okay, let's go to Pueblo, Colorado. Robbie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes, Bob. I just want to make a comment on the Darwinism and the natural selection.
Yes, sir.
With the survival of the fittest, usually when I see people who are Darwinists or liberals who take to that mentality with the survival of the fittest, they're usually real weak-looking and kind of sickly, pale.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, if they truly believed in survival of the fittest, then they wouldn't have a problem with somebody who's bigger than them knocking them on the head and taking their wallet from them.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because they would be the first one to scream how they were wronged.
Well, yeah, and that's, of course, what the Nazis did, who were National Socialists, and the communists, the atheistic communists, like in the Soviet Union and China, where people are slaughtered and disappear by the millions.
Right.
And because they have no moral foundation, they believe we're basically animals, and it's the survival of the fittest. And by the way, you know who helped teach the Nazis that? H.G. Wells and his War of the Worlds and Time Machine and his book Anticipations about the Future of the Human Race, where he said people who are sick, diseased, should be killed. People who are inferior races, like he said, blacks, browns, dirty whites. He said Jewish people have funny looks on their face and they don't know how to dress. And this is H.G. Wells. And he talked about basically eliminating the kind of people that the Nazis went about doing. And yet the entire culture honors H.G. Wells. He was a radical eugenist. And he should be condemned and remembered for this stuff. But this was, he was one of Darwin's apostles to the world.
Right.
You know, Huxley was Darwin's bulldog, and H.G. Wells was one of his apostles.
Right.
So, go ahead.
It just amazes me at the hypocrisy, because they're the first ones who scream about people who take into that mentality. Not all of them, but in general, the majority of them. It seems that they would want to be the ones who would take away someone's ability to defend themselves or to protect themselves.
Yeah,
if they truly were the survival of the fittest, then they wouldn't have a problem with it, because the fittest would survive.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, at Columbine, if the stronger organism could kill the weaker, so what? Hey, thank you, Robbie.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. I just went on Google and put in Darwin and favored races, and up pops the title of Darwin's book, you know, the first website out of thousands. And the title of his book, liberals usually quote it, they shorten it. And conservative Christians usually show the whole title, because Darwin was a racist. And he talked about the inferior races of human beings. And that he quoted one professor, Professor Montenegro, who pointed out that the teeth in inferior races are changing, and you could see, you know, and he was also a sexist, despised women. And so the title of his book was On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle of Life. And the favored races, hey, the Germans, they figured that out. And so many others, while the Bible said for all this time that God made of one blood all the nations of the world, from one blood, right? That's in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, that God made Adam and Eve, and their descendants populated the earth. And so we are all one human race. All right, so, and on CNN's Crossfire today, you know that, what's that guy's name, that Democratic cue ball? James Carville, right? James Carville. He was asked, here's a guy supporting intelligent design on his program, and the guy's pointing out, look, if there is no God, and this guy was more willing, he wasn't a strict ID guy, he's willing to say, hey, there's got to be a God. A God is the designer. And if there's no God, there's no reason to believe that your thoughts can even be rational, because it's just a materialistic universe. And if it's only materialistic, then logic and reason has no foundation in a strictly materialistic universe, because logic and reason are not materialistic. There are not laws of physics that govern the conclusions of a logical statement. And so James Carville's asked on CNN today, just before this show, he's asked, well, do you believe in objective truth? And what? That's my question. That's what I've been asking for 14 years on the air to liberals who call in. Do you believe in truth? And James Carville said, objective truth? Objective truth? I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to say to somebody, objective truth? Do you know what that is? I don't know what that is. So that's James Carville. You know, one of Bill Clinton's right-hand men. Many liberals, millions of liberals, are afraid to acknowledge that there's such a thing as truth, because they intuitively know it gets them to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. So they are afraid to even acknowledge that truth exists. It's interesting. So anyway, if your eye halfway evolves, you got half of an eye going there, you think that's going to help you survive? It doesn't quite work, but on your head, you've got this orb, sort of gushy, you know, gooey. It's demanding resources. You can't see anything with it. It's going to help you survive. You better not get it poked. Can't see, but anyway, the whole thing is ridiculous. And for eyesight to work, it takes symbolic logic, because the data hitting the photons hitting your cones in your eye, they're turned into encoded data that's then decoded in your brain. And there are no symbolic logic functions in the laws of physics. God created us. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center, this Saturday, their huge party outside, indoors, for kids. It's from 10 to 4. We'll be there. It'll be a blast. Check it out. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada.